Rock, Jim Davis, and the boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, 101.1 FM, 1340 for the Valley, for Hotchkiss and Cedar Edge and Delta, Latham, Montrose, 102.1, and you can always get us online all the time. And don't forget, you can download the mobile app, put it right there on your phone, and that's at theteam1340.com. The mobile app you can also find at the Apple App Store, Google Play as well, and not just our radio station, but all the other stations in the NBC Grand Broadcasting family you can listen to. All right, text or call us today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Our Qdoba questions of the day. With the schedule released yesterday and the addition of a 17th game for the NFL, the question of load management's come up. Do you think that teams will start to look at resting players like they do in the NBA with the additional game? Also, there was the tweet by Broncos blogger that it's an injustice and it's a slap in the face of Broncos country that there's only one primetime game for the Broncos. Do you agree or disagree with that? The Thursday night game, October 21st, by the way, against Cleveland. That's the only primetime game. It's kind of like Glengarry Glen Ross. Coffee's for closers. Primetime games are for teams that win more than five games. Okay? It's for teams that have been to the playoffs the last three or four years, which the Broncos are not in that group. Let's keep that in mind. That is a ridiculous take by somebody. That's an insult. No, Denver hasn't earned it. They don't. And this is coming from somebody that roots for the Broncos.
It's a slap in the face to slap in the facers.
It's stupid. It's moronic and it's idiotic.
I love Twitter. It's content for days.
No kidding. We might be milking this one into tomorrow, by the way. This particular one. All right. 902.
How many fingers worth of a slap is this? That should be your cue question tomorrow.
Is it with the hand or a glove, like back in the old days, right? When they're going to have a duel? Like
yes,
a
pistol exactly.
Duel? I challenge you to a duel. Slap in the face.
You, sir.
With the gauntlet or whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
Upward slap, sideways slap.
How many slaps?
Yes.
One each cheek? What?
Backhand? Forehand?
What? Elbow?
Right.
All right, we still don't have a winner yet for the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday. Let's try that again. Here we go.
It's correct. We do not have a winner.
You want to do it again very quickly?
Yes. I was a Colorado Avalanche player on a prior President's Trophy winning team. A lot of alliteration there. I wore a single-digit jersey number that Devin Taves wears this season. I won a Stanley Cup and share my name with the college. In the Southern New Hampshire University of Phoenix area of colleges.
Not talking Harvard.
No.
University of Colorado.
No.
Florida.
His name's not like Bob Southern Utah. No, it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, first correct answer wins tickets to the Highland Games this weekend at the fairgrounds and an Anapasto salad from Junction Square Pizza. Text in your answer. First correct answer wins 970-242-1340 with us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. He's in charge of operations for the Junior College Baseball World Series. Darren Coltonary joins us. Colt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Let's first talk about tickets for the Junior College World Series. We've had a conversation about this before. Tickets can only be bought online at JUCOGJ.org. How is that going? I know the tickets online got off to a sensational start. How's that going right now?
It's going as good as we'd hoped for. I think everyone's kind of bought in. The media has really gotten the word out. Facebook, word of mouth. So we're pleasantly surprised. The next step is scanning and getting them in the stadium. So we know there'll be some hiccups come 9 a.m. day one of the World Series, but we're ready for it, and we hope everyone gets in and enjoys seeing some baseball.
And I know that you're looking for people, volunteers, to help scan tickets. So I know that you're reaching out, obviously, to committee members on the JUCO committee for that. Would that be extended to the members of the public, maybe retirees that would like to go out to the ballpark and spend some time out there? You're just looking for people to help out with this, correct?
Yeah, I think at this point we've got our volunteers covered. We've asked some committee members to help out, and And we're going to have some liaisons out there and you know, some sandwich boards as you're coming into the parking lot with scan the QR code and buy the tickets on your way in. So we'll have some people out there helping you troubleshoot. And, you know, we'll hope for the best.
Darren Coltinary with the JUCO Baseball Committee with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Because I know that was one of the concerns about going online only. As for some of the older folks here in town that maybe are not the most tech savvy, that this could be a challenge for them. But you guys are going to have people out there that can help them get those tickets. It's not like they're going to not be able to go watch the games. There's going to be ways that they can get help in regard to getting those tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't want to turn anyone away because they couldn't navigate their cell phone or find their tickets. So, you know, we're going to be there to help you get into the stadium and watch the World Series. Absolutely.
Darren Coltinary with the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Committee with us today on the Team Sports Network. We now have two teams in, Darren. Of course, Miami-Dade qualified out of Florida the other day. We talked to their coach, Coach Morales, just the other day on the program about his Sharks ball club. And then a guy that, if you've been around Junior College Baseball World Series teams in the past, guy's been here a few times, Bobby Sproul of Shelton State, Alabama. Shelton State, they won their district. They're coming to Grand Junction. And Bobby Sproul, just a really fantastic coach, just a super good guy. Good to have Bobby Sproul and the Bucks back for the first time, Darren, since 2012.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's exciting as we see these teams start to qualify and, you know, and then they start calling with questions and we get them lined up with photo shoots. And it's just it's just great that student athletes now are competing for a championship after, you know, it was a long year off. And you know, we're just ecstatic as these teams qualify and we get every day we're a little bit closer to that first pitch. You know, we got eight more to qualify. So, you know, there's going to be some good baseball played and some broken hearts when their season ends. But we'll welcome everyone with open arms.
Absolutely. Darren Coltinary with the Alpine Bank JUCO Baseball Committee joining us today, today on the Team Sports Network. Now for you, Darren, I mean, you've taken on a lot of additional responsibilities the last couple of years. And kind of take us through that a little bit, because I mean, you've been on the committee, you work at Home Loan, and you've, you know, obviously been around baseball all your life, had a tremendous career at Central High School, winning a state title there at New Mexico. And for you, the chance to still be involved in the game and to the level that you now are involved with it with the JUCO committee has to be just a blast, still being able to be involved in baseball, even if it's not on actually playing anymore on the diamond.
You're exactly right. You know, I'm not very good at throwing a ball anymore with some shoulder issues. So, you know, getting back out there, just being around baseball people, it just, you know, brings all those stories back. It's just such a great sport. It's really a small community. Amongst, you know, all 50 states, you kind of know someone who knows someone. And just, you know, if there's a way I can get back to this community that allowed me to succeed, and obviously I work here, I live here, I raise my kids here, it's just an amazing event, and it's hard not to just get entrenched when you see 80 other volunteers just going to work and making this thing happen, because it's all volunteers. We don't have paid staff. It's really amazing to watch what's been built. It's hard not to just be a part of it.
It's truly a labor of love. Like you said, people volunteer. Nobody's paid for doing what they do on the JUCO committee. And so you're right. It definitely is a labor of love for a lot of people continuing on the tradition of the Junior College World Series. It started all the way when it moved from Oklahoma back in the late 1950s. Darren Coltinary joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So we've talked about tickets. We've got Miami-Dade. We've got Shelton State in. More qualifiers on the horizon as we get closer to Memorial Day weekend. Anything else, Darren, you want to let people know about in advance of the tournament? Maybe anything regarding parking or anything regarding what to expect when they get to the stadium? I know that checking bags and things like that has now become commonplace at most sporting events, and that will be once again part of making sure people are safe at the Junior College World Series. Anything you want to let people know about in advance right now that may be out of the ordinary, or just something you want to remind people about out in front of the tournament?
Yeah, a great point. I would say just just if you're worried about your tickets, just print them out day one as you're coming out and avoid using your phone, or if you're comfortable using your phone, do that. As far as, you know, it's going to be as normal as possible, and it's going to be the same baseball experience, except player interaction. I guess that's the one thing we've really tried to put an emphasis on this year, is it's about those 10 teams competing for a championship. And, you know, we've got to distance them from the public. We feel like that's our priority. That's we've communicated with the NJCAA there. And, you know, like me growing up, asking for hats, autographs, and whatnot, you know, they're not going to be in the stands mingling and creating those relationships, or you know, their days off, meeting with host clubs. That part's going to be a little different, unfortunately, but, you know, we'll look to get back to that next year along with the banquet as well.
And, of course, the return of the Challenger Games with the teams and things like that. Yeah, that'll be great when that's back next year as well. I know a lot of coaches enjoy being involved in that, and their teams enjoy being involved in that. And so hopefully a return to that in 2022 with the Challenger Games. Hey, Darren,
Jim, I don't know if you've put it out there, but, you know, we're excited that last year during COVID, we signed an extension. We're in Grand Junction till 2044.
And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. All the things I'm thinking about here. That's what they get. They signed the extension with the NJCAA, and so yeah, junior the JUCO World Series is not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. Which that is fantastic news that it's going to be locked in till 2044 here in town. And I know that there are more stadium upgrades on the horizon. Some of the seat backs and things like that along the first baseline, Darren. I know that's kind of in the works down the road as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, there's bids out there right now that we're going to have some construction going on at Saplesio Field and Stoker Stadium come September, and it's extremely exciting with the user groups partnering up to make this happen. Obviously, JUCO is one of those, and it's just that facility in the heart of Grand Junction is so much more than just, you know, 7 days of JUCO. It's high school baseball, it's CMU baseball, it's the Special Olympics, it's college football, and we're just happy to help continue to upgrade that facility and let, you know, like myself playing high school baseball, there's nothing better than toeing the mound at Saplesio Field as a 16-year-old kid. It's unbelievable.
No doubt about it. Darren Coltinary with us from the JUCO Baseball Committee on the Team Sports Network. All right, your alma mater, Central, playing Fruita today. Alma mater. Yeah, it's big game out at Central High School.
Jim, could you remind me who won a state title last?
I would believe
between Central and Fruita on the diamond.
Oh, you got to add that part.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be Central. That would, because I was there to call it.
Just checking to make sure that I was accurate on that.
Yeah.
I think we're still there for the semifinal game, actually.
Yeah, the game that you pitched in.
I've got the tape of you calling the game.
17 innings.
We needed more than one tape.
Yes.
17 innings. It's one of the longest games in state baseball tournament history. That game you guys had against Mullen. 17 innings. Yeah, that was a blast though, man. That was a fun Sarasota where Mark Johnson at Cherry Creek just set the record for wins in the state, and it was fun to see, of course, you guys with the run rule victory against Cherry Creek, and he just freaked out. That guy just totally freaked out.
Yeah, he's not used to getting smoked 10-0 in 5 innings.
No, he was not used to that at all.
But I mean, hey, that's Western Slope, man. We just, you know, we got an uphill battle all the way. I mean, look at the Mavs right now. I heard you guys talking about that earlier this morning, and you know, it's kind of like Western Slope versus Texas, or Western Slope versus the Front Range. You know, we're just the little brother all the time, and you know, you talk about putting a chip on someone's shoulder. I hope the Mavs just hand it to them.
I hope so too. Us against them, man. It seems like that's always the case. And hey, look, that was one of the highlights of my broadcasting career, getting to call that game when you guys won the state championship, that semifinal game and then the title game. That was just an absolute thrill to get to do that. And so anytime we win a title here on the Western Slope, I don't care where it comes from, it's always a good thing for us.
Absolutely.
Hey, Darren, I appreciate the time. Take care. Keep up the great work you're doing with JUCO. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.
All right. We'll see you at the yard.
All right. Take care. Darren Colchinary. And he was really good. Outstanding that year. And, of course, got a chance to go on pitch at New Mexico, play Division I baseball.
I remember the 1,000-yard stare from Stevie B in about the 15th inning of that semifinal game.
Did that game by myself that day, too.
Yeah.
Because Kenny Johnson was supposed to, he's going to do the game with me, and it didn't work out.
Right, but the Dodgers were on TV somewhere, and he was
but Kenny did the title game with me, though. He did the title game.
Dodgers must have had the day off.
Where Mark Johnson freaked out. Not our Mark Johnson.
No, Mark with Mark. A C. Merrick.
Yeah.
Merrick Johnson.
And he thought that there was the run rule wasn't in effect for that game, for the state title game. And yeah, it was.
If they would have won by it, he would have taken it. You know what I mean? Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, let's walk. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, Mark Johnson.
808 wins?
Yeah. By the way, Mark Johnson mentioned that he broke the Chassa all-time wins record.
Mm-hmm.
The Cherry Creek beat Grandview in extra innings. Surpassed Jim Danley at Eaton. So Mark Johnson surpassing the 807 wins that Jim Danley had at Eaton. So, congratulations to him. That day, though, he was not happy.
No.
Not happy at all. All right, 9-16.
Usually when I lose 10-0, I'm not very happy either, to be fair to Merrick Johnson. So,
because I think correctly, the scenario was Central had not lost. I think Cherry Creek had lost a game and came through the loser's bracket.
And I think that's the case.
Yeah. And then so they play the first game. Central won by the run rule. And he's like, well, wait a minute. I didn't think there was a run rule when we got to this round. And yeah, there was, because you had a loss already. And so it was the if game.
Right.
So it wasn't the championship game where, maybe you take the run rule out of effect. Mm-hmm. No, it was they had to win that to force another game that day. And they didn't. And Central smoked him. And he was not happy. He was not happy at all. All right, 9:17. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And coming up, we'll have In the Garage, the NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford and Nissan, also this day in sports history. Today with, who is it? It's been challenging. Are we still guestless on this?
We're not guestless, but we don't have a winner. We had a guest for Ryan Muir, I believe it was, is who... Brian Muir, incorrect. Rob Blake is incorrect. But this person was a teammate of Rob Blake's in an Avalanche sweater.
Member of the 01 championship team.
Yep.
The cup team with Raymond Bork.
Mm-hmm.
Took the damn cup back to Boston. I'll stop that.
Yeah.
I'll stop it. Still makes me mad.
Similarities between this person and Raymond Bork when it comes to Avalanche jersey numbers.
Okay, so first correct answer. You get the tickets to the Celtic Festival Highlands Games this weekend.
We just got a winner.
Okay, well, we got a winner. What do you know?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jared correctly identifying one Greg DeVries.
Ah.
Yeah, DeVries University.
Like
guy.
University of Phoenix and Southern New Hampshire and all those.
Strip Mall College, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yes, he wore number 7 for the 2001 Stanley Cup President's Trophy winning Colorado Avalanche.
Well done, Jared. Well done.
Good job.
All right. 9:19. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more. On the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 9:22. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Couple of questions today. Could we see load management become part of the NFL with an additional game, 17 games? Also, our colleague Cake, a.k.a. Nipsey Hussle.
Yep. Tired
AKA
Franzen.
Tired Franzen.
The afternoon snooze.
Now, Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. Rand McNally.
Because he got lost Friday night. Didn't get lost in a place that, it wasn't like he was out of town.
No.
Got lost in the woods hiking or something. No. He got lost in his car driving from Maverick Field to look for ice cream, and then he was going to go home. His home, his apartment, is over by East Middle School.
Right.
About a mile-ish.
From the start of his adventure.
Right. So he went to look for ice cream. That journey took him to the Redlands. That journey mm-hmm. took him to Fruita.
Yep. He got lost in both places, too.
And we still don't know if he got ice cream or not. A lot of things to break down on this. Number one, how do you get that lost, that bad, mm-hmm. lost that bad? And then if you're looking for ice cream, if it's not a particular place, he drove by lots of places that sell ice yep. cream. And then probably maybe the best question of this.
Why are you telling people?
Why did he tell anybody? Yeah. Why did he share this with anybody?
Why did he tell me?
Jerk colleagues
yeah.
about this.
And he says, he's like, I expected a little bit of pushback from you.
There's...
And I'm like, well, then why would you say this? Why would you tell me? Did you know what I'm going to do? Come on now. He didn't just meet me.
He had to know. If he told you,
yeah.
you're going to tell everybody else.
Yep.
That was not going to be a secret that you're going to take to your grave for him.
Mm-hmm.
No, you were going to tell us. And because of the unique work situation we're in,
yeah.
it was going to be beyond just the normal colleague ribbing in the hallway by the water cooler.
No, this is show prep. This is making it on the air.
This becomes part of what we're talking about on the air.
Yeah. And when my girlfriend starts to make fun of you for it, you know you're in a bad spot.
Because Karen's a nice lady.
She's wonderful.
She's going to cut him a lot of slack.
Yeah.
And you know it's bad when she's ripping you
yeah.
for getting lost. All right. So text or call in today. Is that the worst story of getting lost?
Siri,
what's the biggest problem with that story? The fact that he told it. That he shared
yes.
it with anybody. That's a thing you take to your grave.
There's a lot of stupid stuff I have done.
Oh, sure.
I have told no one about. Because my circle of friends is usually the people I work with. We're paid to talk about stuff to other people. This is bound
Remember
to come up.
How long? And it's become part of my vocabulary. Not every day do I use it, but it has become part of my vocabulary. It's cool, but it sucks.
Yeah.
How long did you...
That was... The 2001 All-Star Game.
Yeah.
For the National Hockey League. That's 20 years.
And still.
It's still there.
I will use. It's cool, but it sucks.
Yes. It's still there.
Still floating around. All right. ZZ Top Construction occasionally pops up. One that I came up with, the two guys that worked on our studios years ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they look like...
Yeah.
Members of ZZ Top, they look like Billy Gibbons and Frank Hill? Dusty Beard.
Yeah, doesn't have a beard.
He's the drummer.
Right.
And I think it's Frank Hill who's the bass player, I believe.
That sounds right. I'll go with that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. See, now I got a fact
check. I know
check.
Billy Gibbons is the one guy.
Right.
With the fluffy guitar, yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. I'm looking here to see.
I can't remember right off the top of my head.
Dusty Hill.
Dusty Hill, okay.
Dusty Hill is the bassist. Yes, Frank Beard is the drummer. I got the first names mixed up.
So you had all the names right, just in the wrong order.
Exactly.
Good enough for me.
Close enough. All right, 9:27. And we haven't had a Rogers update, have we?
In almost an hour.
Really, we haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers during the show at all.
Rodgers!
It's a double.
This got a double check!
It's a double Rodgers.
It's a double check Rodgers.
Double check Rodgers update. That the saga continues, right? Between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers organization. Well, yes, we did mention the John Kuhn thing, so I guess that does kind of fit into a Rodgers update. And according to Mike Florio, who John Kuhn's looking to go kick his butt, that there's a there's a belief that Rodgers was under the impression that the Packers had agreed to trade him at some point during the offseason. The claim that that Rodgers was told he'd be traded was first mentioned by Trey Wingo, now formerly of ESPN, during the flood of nuggets that began 2 weeks ago today, the first day of the draft. And Pro Football Talk, according to Florio, heard the same things. Rodgers, as the story goes, believes that the Packers told him they had traded him and that the Packers have since reversed course. Per a team source, Packers regard that notion that Rodgers was told he'd be traded as unequivocally false. To go on, Packers weren't even aware that Rodgers believed he'd be traded before the reporting of said point emerged, as some believe some point of misunderstanding arose during the talks between the player and the team. At some point, someone from Rodgers' camp would have had to say to the Packers, "Wait, we thought you said you were trading him." That, according to Pro Football Talk, has not happened. So, what does this all mean?
Somebody's lying.
Somebody's lying about this. Whether it's Rodgers, his agent, they're lying about it, or the Packers are lying about it, somebody's lying about it. And now we hear that perhaps he's going to get that deal, being the highest paid player in the league. He's going to have more input, if you will, on personnel decisions. And that supposedly, this is, once again, this is all gets back to that. This is what we're hearing, but it's not official. That Rodgers, when he gets the contract extension or in the pay bump, that he wants it written into his contract that he will be the starting quarterback. There will be no quarterback competition. Jordan Love will not have a chance to be the starting quarterback. That he will, unless he gets hurt, he is the Packers' starting quarterback, regardless if he goes out and plays like hot garbage. That he will have it written to his contract, he is the team's starting quarterback, period. Unless there's an injury that prevents him from obviously fulfilling the duties.
Right. That's a weird thing for a team to commit to and put in writing, right?
Because what happens if he starts? I mean, not that he is showing any signs of that, but what happens if he goes out and plays like crap?
Well, they're in a bad spot. First of all, I'm not so much worried about the Packers and Rodgers. I'm worried about the precedent now.
Yeah, you're going to guarantee I have my job.
Right.
That it doesn't matter what happens. You might draft somebody that's actually better than me, or that my play might start to slip and I might
suck. But it's in my contract. They're going to Roger Dorn it, essentially.
Exactly. It's in my contract.
Yeah. They're carrying it around with them on the practice field.
You think...
Hey, bro, can I use your towel? No, man, that's my contract.
Goon-Coost or Matt LaFleur would go out and...
Yeah.
Take a leak on it like Lou Brown did in Major League.
Hey, man, can I borrow your towel? No, man, that's my contract. Can't use that.
I mean, if that is the case, if there's that guarantee, that's stupid on their part.
Oh, it's stupid for any team to agree to that.
And if that is true, we don't know that that is true. Could be, might not be. Like whether or not he was told he'd be traded in the offseason.
If I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'll be like, sure, and then trade him to another team. Make them start him. There you go.
Oh. One other thing, too, with the schedule release, because we know that Brady and the Bucs will be playing at his old stomping grounds, Gillette.
Yeah.
Tom Brady could very well break a major NFL record in that game at Gillette. He's currently 1,154 yards behind Drew Brees for the all-time yardage record. That means if he averages 289.6 per game this season, which is where he was at in 2020, he'll break the all-time record in week 4. Guess where they play week 4?
Foxborough. And if you don't think the NFL knew that going into the schedule making, you're naive.
You're naive about that. That could be an interesting day.
Yeah.
Could be a very interesting
that is a
day.
Gigantic middle finger to the Patriots if Brady does it in their house.
Particularly one guy on the sidelines known as Emperor Palpatine or the Hoodie.
Yeah. I'm waving.
And once again, it's going to be another thing of the, is it Belichick or Brady that helped them win six Super Bowls?
Well, the only one to win a Super Bowl without the other is Brady.
And so, right now, scoreboard TB12 at this point in time. All right, 9:33. Let's go ahead and get to this day in sports history. And on this day, 1914, see, Joseph Louis Barrow was born in Lafayette, Alabama, under the name of Joe Louis. So Joe Louis's birthday today, the former heavyweight champion. Also, let's see, what Dennis Rodman, 1961, born in Trenton, New Jersey, won five NBA titles with the Pistons and the Bulls, and snagged 11,954 boards during his, as they describe it here, colorful 14-season Hall of Fame career.
His career or his hair? More colorful.
And let us not forget a trip to North Korea on a couple of occasions. 1986, Rockets, Twin Towers, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Ralph Sampson combined for 46 points, 29 boards, and 11 block shots, and a 112-102 win over the Lakers at the Forum in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Houston went on to win the next three games and go to the NBA Finals. Also, 2010, the original Yankee Stadium was demolished. The Cathedral of Baseball served as the home for the New York Yankees, football's Giants, and numerous championship fights. And there we go.
What's more on brand? Tyler getting lost looking for ice cream or Dennis Rodman visits North Korea? Which one surprises you the least?
Rodman.
Yeah, probably.
Tyler getting lost. That seems pretty on brand.
Yeah, that seems kind of
That seems
right up his alley.
Exactly. All right, 9:35. Still time to win Qdoba today. We'll take a break and we'll head to the garage, in the garage, with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That is coming up next on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, so we're going to drive straight and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Service department, they do a fantastic job. Pricing, everything you need to know. Contact a sales rep as well at MontroseFordNissan.com. All right. Joining us from the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred, and of course, J-Rod in the studio with me. Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing good.
Doing good, Jim.
You were feeling cocky the other day, weren't you? You're feeling good.
Hey, you know what? Boom!
Give J-Rod credit. He nailed it, the winner at Darlington.
You know
what? Yeah. I don't know. It kind of seems like things have taken a little bit of a shift, and it's kind of got into more of a normal season. Martin Truex Jr. is winning races here. So we'll see what transpires in the next few weeks. But definitely, Truex has come to the fore. He's won three races now.
Well, and he dominated this race with leading 248 laps.
Yeah, they were saying that since they started stage racing back in 2017, no stage winner had ever won a race at Darlington. So he blew that up. He won both stages and won the race. And like you said, dominated.
You know, and it's Kyle Larson. I mean, I think I picked him too. You know, it's like, yeah, he got a good chance. And he was up there, but just couldn't quite pull it off. Martin was just too dominant to take the checkered flag.
Yeah, there were about two times near the end there where Kyle sort of made a run at him and just couldn't quite get it done. And as they say, used up his stuff. He just, abused his tires to the point where he just didn't have it for another try and ended up finishing second.
You know, how about Chris Buescher finishing ninth, the 17 Ford? You know, that's a good run for him coming out of Darlington.
Buescher and Newman both in the top 10. Kind of hearing a little bit of noise out of Roush Fenway Racing this year. That's good to see.
And your boy Tyler Reddick is right behind them with would come in 12th place there. little one that kind of surprising, and I've read a little bit about it. Eric Almirola just not having the year that he needs to have. Him and his teammate both finished, 36th and 37th, both involved in accidents.
Right, very similar accidents too. They smacked that inside wall and mashed up the nose of the car. It kind of got them interesting just how similar, because they happened at the same spot, same kind of damage and stuff. But Almirola, he's having one of those years where he's just say, man, we keep finding new ways to lose these things. And you just feel it's got to turn around for him at some point. When, you know, he's been running pretty well. I mean, he's no stranger to the top 10, but just always has this bad luck that bites him every time, it seems like.
In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Get information at montroseFordNissan.com. Of course, Martin Truex Jr., the winner at Darlington, and he also has the pole for Dover coming up this weekend. Due to the qualifying formula, since there's no practice or qualifying ahead of the race, so for Truex, the only driver in the Cup Series that has won more than one race this season, and if you're going to go out and put some money on the race on Sunday, he is one of the betting favorites for Dover coming up this weekend.
Oh, he would have to be, because I mean they're just hot right now, no question about that. And Martin has won three times at Dover. He's, you know, it's a good track for him. So yeah, definitely gonna have to watch out for him this weekend. One quick thing about Darlington I wanted to mention: William Byron has 10 straight top 10 finishes now. He became the youngest driver ever to do that. He has 24 years and some months old. So still going with that streak. We'll see how many top 10s he can rack up. And does have a win already, too.
Quickly look at the standings right now, the point standings. Denny Hamlin still leads, but Martin Truex Jr. is building momentum. He's got five top five finishes, three wins this season. William Byron, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, and Kyle Busch, your top 10 right now, with Christopher Bell and Austin Dillon on the outside looking in as far as the top 10 at the moment. So your standings as we get ready to head to Dover this weekend. Some things to kind of keep an eye on that are, one thing that's COVID related, that like a lot of state governments and a lot of places, that mask restrictions for COVID are starting to ease dramatically, and NASCAR guys among those that are easing their mask restrictions for both members of the pit crew and things like that.
Right, they announced just a couple days ago, they've updated their events. Actually, they just announced that this morning, though. They're no longer going to require masks when you're outdoors in the infield. They still will have to wear them inside buildings, inside team haulers, any other enclosed spaces, and wherever state or local mandates require that they wear a mask, they're going to go along with that, too. But it's definitely relaxing. It's something you don't have to walk around out in the open air with a mask on. I think that's got to be a relief.
Absolutely. One other thing I want to mention, too, from Darlington, that Joey Logano, his pit crew, got hit with they penalized five crew chiefs, actually, for lug nut violations after both the Cup race and the Xfinity race at Darlington this last weekend. NASCAR suspending crew chief Paul Wolf for one race, fined him $20,000 after two lug nuts were found not secure on Joey Logano's car. Jonathan Hassler, here at Team Penske, will serve as Logano's crew chief at Dover this weekend. So we saw some guys get dinged this past weekend.
One of the things
with the lug nuts, during the race they don't care. If you can send it out there with three lug nuts on it, and your wheel might come off, but it won't be a penalty or anything. But when they look at it at the end of the race, you have to have five lug nuts tight on every wheel. If you have just one loose, they'll just assess a $10,000 fine. If there's two loose, then you start talking crew chief suspension like this.
You know, it's going back to the Xfinity. Noah Gragson got disqualified. He lost $100,000 for the cash for four race, and that got overturned yesterday. They said he had some unapproved movement or realignment of suspension parts, and they deemed that they were wrong in their justification, and they gave him the $100,000 and his points back.
that's a big reversal right there.
So we got on Sunday, as I mentioned, coming up, we have the race at Dover, and it'll be this Sunday, noon, our time, and FS1 with the coverage of that. As I mentioned, Martin Truex Jr. gets the pole based on the formula that NASCAR is using. So, J-Rod, Fred, let's get into some picks, predictions, some thoughts about Dover this weekend. Start out with you, Fred.
One thing I wanted to throw in real quickly regarding the standings, there's some guys who would love to see Martin Truex Jr. or Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin get on a tear and win a bunch of races. Because, you know, we've talked before about the situation. If we have more than 16 drivers win a race during these first 26, then a win isn't going to guarantee you a spot in the playoffs. So somebody like Tyler Reddick, Michael McDowell, they're Chris Buescher, they're hoping, you know, that there aren't 16 different winners because they have a win. Well, Tyler Reddick doesn't have a win. Michael McDowell does, but he could still be knocked out if we get too many winners. So, Michael McDowell especially is in that position. And, well, Alex Bowman, too, for that matter. He's sitting 14th. So, they'd love to see Harvick go on a tear and win five races or something like that. This weekend, speaking of Harvick, I don't know. I've picked him before, and they just haven't quite been dialing it in a lot of the time this year. They haven't gone places and dominated like they did last year. They might run fifth or eighth or something, but he's got three wins at Dover. He's just hungry, starving for a win. So I'm going to say Kevin Harvick this weekend.
You know, I'm going to go for the Monster Mile. I'm going with the five car. Kyle Larson's going to the front.
I'm going to take Denny Hamlin this weekend among the favorites, depending on which site you go to. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin this weekend.
I like Martin Truex.
Okay. See if Martin can build on last week's win, back-to-back wins. Be his fourth win of the season if it happens. All right, Sunday from Dover on FS1. NASCAR Fred, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. J-Rod, likewise. Thanks, guys, for coming in today. Talk to you next Thursday. Enjoy the racing this weekend. Okay. So that is In the Garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing and information at MontroseFordNissan.com. Anything else you want to add? You good?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. And it's a great come off a win. And, I think I'm going to go with Rio. I think he's got a good chance of Martin Duke going back to back.
You should have seen this guy the other day, puffing his chest up out front. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Who picked the winner? Who picked the winner? That was you, man.
Hey,
you should celebrate.
Gets nuts. Every once in a while, a guy gets lucky. Hey, I
would have been celebrating that too if it would have been me.
Well, if I can pull it off for two in a row, I would be excited.
Okay,
but
man.
What? There's a lot of in there that there's a lot of chances to win for everybody.
Very good. Thanks, J-Rod. Appreciate
See
it,
you,
man.
Buddy. Thank you.
All right, that is In the Garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. All right, time to flip the lid open and hop in the dumpster.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay, as we know, ad nauseum, the NFL released the schedules for everybody last night. Packers scheduled to play six games on national TV this season, most of anybody in the league. So the feeling is from people like Ben Volen with the Boston Globe that TV execs obviously do not believe that Aaron Rodgers will be playing football someplace else. Do you think, right now, look, I defend them in doing this because as of right now, the way things are, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He's not the quarterback of the Denver Broncos or the Las Vegas Raiders. You can only go if you're scheduling. You're involved in the NFL and in the TV networks, you have to go on the assumption that Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere.
Right. And again, like we talked about with the Brady thing, if you think they didn't have some sort of information about this, then you're clearly not paying attention to what the NFL is doing. They know that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be a Packer. I'd say 95 or greater percent chance this year.
They're fairly confident that situation is going to get itself resolved. Yeah.
And so they scheduled it that way. They had to have known. It may not be the Roger Goodell to Mark Murphy, call, but it's at some level, there is a, what is going on here, fellas? And they're like, he's going to be a Packer. We're not moving him. And it's not one of those, we're not moving him to the fan base. He's either going to be here or he's not going to play.
And it could very well be a case that he does end up getting traded. Maybe he decides to retire. Like I said, pull a Carson Palmer. Well, fine, I'm just going to retire then.
Right.
And they go, well, crap, we got it. He's too big of an asset to not get something out of him.
But does he really want to give back $30 million just to not play for the Packers this year?
And that's how entrenched is he in his unhappiness with the Packers?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point this does impact his own personal bottom line.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
But right now, look, if you if you and I were doing this, wouldn't, if we're scheduling games, mm-hmm. can't we just, we just have to go on the assumption he's going to be in Green Bay? I can't go.
Right.
Because what, I'm going to start giving the Broncos a bunch of primetime games that they don't, that they don't deserve because there's the possibility that Aaron Rodgers might play there, or the Raiders, or whoever.
The Packers probably are, well, there's no 500 teams anymore, but they could be 9-8 without Aaron Rodgers yeah. and a competent quarterback, because they have a pretty decent team. Aaron Rodgers puts them over the top, obviously, but they can hover around respectable with a different quarterback.
Is that guy Blake Bortles, though?
Could probably
not. They signed him to a one-year deal yesterday.
Probably not.
Chad Kelly? Could be a camp arm for the
Definitely
Packers?
Definitely not.
He still, every time he sees a vacuum cleaner, he mm-hmm. totally freaks out. I just don't know what were they supposed to do?
Right.
They have to go on the assumption he's going to be there. Because right now he is under contract with the Green Bay Packers. I don't know how much you can really read into that.
Right.
Because you can only schedule for teams and who they currently have playing.
And that's essentially what the Packers are doing. He's under contract. Press conference over.
Until he's not. All right. Do you have one?
Yes. Remember a few years ago, Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Browns, tried this whole rebranding. He painted over murals and, you know, was kind of not super hip to having old Browns and legends come into the facility, and people got all pissed off. Remember that?
Right.
Well, he's trying the same thing now with the other team in Ohio he owns, the Columbus Crew. They're going to have a new stadium, and he's trying to rebrand the entire Columbus Crew. New logos, new designs, the whole thing, and he's getting the same type of pushback. Did he not learn his lesson 2 hours to the Northeast?
You would think.
Like Damon Amendola says, just because you're rich doesn't mean you're smart.
Exactly. And look, the Browns, that's one thing. That's a team steeped in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus Crew. But still, why
but for that town and for what they are?
Because it's the Blue Jackets, and that's it.
They're a charter member of the MLS.
Well, in Ohio State football, obviously.
Yeah, they're a very successful member at times of the MLS.
Why screw with it, though?
Right.
I agree with you. I mean, I could see MLS being less of a big deal
mm-hmm.
about messing with it. But still, if it's been a successful franchise, you mentioned, you thought he would have learned that from the Browns right. experience. No. Also, Niners, they picked Michigan cornerback Ombre Thomas with the 102nd pick in the draft. Third round selection, signed a $4.8 million contract with a signing bonus of $800,000. So, you know, it's quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently Thomas saw what the real estate prices are in the Bay Area. And he kind of went, I don't know if I can afford to buy a house here. That with a $4.8 million contract and an $800,000 signing bonus.